Fairsie's Big Breakfast, thanks to Harvey Norman Launceston. I'm in love with
your body. As you might have read, it certainly grabbed the headlines everywhere. The Richmond Tigers Premiership player, Nathan Broad, who was suspended for 3 matches by the club and apologised publicly, obviously, for sharing an image of a topless woman wearing his Premiership medals. And it was spread right across social media and certainly was not a good look. Now, Peter Sutton is an expert on social media and online behaviour. He joins me now. Peter, thank you very much for your time. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Robin. Good morning to all your listeners.
Thanks very much for your time. It certainly wasn't a good look for Nathan, the club, or the lady involved.
No, these are very, very complex situations. And unfortunately, this is a very high profile case, which has been played out in the public, which is very difficult for all of those involved.
Was the 3-game suspension enough, in your opinion?
Look, I don't think so. At this point in time, I think the broader community needs to realise that sexting behaviour runs right across the spectrum of our community. It's in our local sports clubs. You know, I've had experience where it's in our schools. It's even in our workplaces. It can also cause, you know, significant psychological reputational harm. And I just think, given the AFL and the Richmond Football Club, you know, they are some of the highest profile sporting organisations in Australia. Sports in our DNA very much. And I think they had an opportunity to go forward and put down some stronger sanctions in and around this sort of behaviour to really represent, you know, some community response, given that also sexting is now being enshrined in a lot of laws across the states in Australia as well.
Yeah, I mean, players have to learn and understand that they are very much in the public eye and they are seen as heroes to a lot of people. That's the way they are put out there. So they need to behave accordingly.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I see a lot of this happen in my experience between people not really understanding what mobile devices, social media, and the internet it's blurred their personal and professional lives. And what a lot of people don't consider is, well, how do my actions, you know, using a mobile device, how does that interact and cross over into my professional life? And it's not as clear cut as what it was, you know, pre-mobile device, pre-internet, pre-social media, where we worked 5 days a week for certain hours and then we could switch off. Now these things blur very much together and people have to be made aware of, you know, and consider where that professional and personal life starts and finishes.
Yeah. The thing we have to understand too is Nathan wasn't alone here. I mean, the lady involved obviously, you know, agreed to do it and did it. She didn't agree for it to go public, I don't think, when she posed for it. But I mean, if you put yourself in those situations, is it fair to expect that this sort of thing can happen?
Look, it's a really interesting one, and I know a lot of the national commentary around it kind of falls down into this kind of blame game. And what if we could kind of flick that on its head a little bit and consider, well, what are the responsibilities, the choices of the two parties that were involved? Yes, the young woman did put herself in a riskier position by, you know, being topless with a medal around her neck. It's 3 clicks for a photo to be taken and then moved, whether that be via SMS or over social media, whatever. But what you've also then got to understand is Nathan Broad, he's broken trust. He's potentially broken the law. He's broken an employee code of conduct. Now, I probably liken it a little bit like to driving a car under the influence of something. You know, we now in society see that as illegal. We have education programs around that sort of thing. We have clear laws around those sorts of things. And organisations, whether they be sporting or anything else, are struggling to come to terms with where they draw the line. So I kind of look at it as a coach and correct type thing. You know, there needs to be sanctions, there needs to be laws, there needs to be code of conduct on that correction side. And then on that coaching side, we need to consider, you know, how are we educating our employees? How are we educating our young men and women? You know, what sort of services are in place when this does go astray? Just as some of those services are in place when people do break the law and they hop behind a car and they're driving under the influence of something.
Yes. No, absolutely. I totally agree with you. The club involved Richmond. I mean, what would have made you happier? I mean, a three-game suspension, you've said that's not enough. What do you think would have been a harsher penalty? A fine as well?
Look, I think that's where they missed the point. And there's obviously there's always a significant backstory to these things, so it's difficult to understand what other things. There might be some good things going on in the background that are not made public. I think a stiffer penalty is required to send a clearer message. Yes. You know, the AFL and Richmond have both been very explicit in how they wish to progress women in their sport and progress women in their organisation. And I just think that the level of this suspension is a little bit muddied in and around, almost like a striking charge on field. It needed to be stiffer. That's the first thing. The second thing I would think is there is a lot of preventative measures that could be put in place. I know a lot of professional sporting clubs do work with social media specialists. I think some of that doesn't go far enough. It falls around do's and don'ts in preference to, well, you know, what's the impact of social media on you as a high-profile sportsman or woman? Are you a user? Do you want to use that? Why would you use that? What are the pros and cons of using that? And I don't think professional athletes are being supported enough to have that unpacked for them. I also think, they are both victims in this case to a certain extent. So I'd be very interested to hear about, counselling for the victim in particular is a first point, and also counselling for Nathan Broad and what he has done, and then significant education and ongoing programs because, these technologies are so relatively new. We're only just grappling with, the impacts, and unfortunately high-profile cases like this come out and we need to really learn from them. And I think the clubs and the AFL and local sporting clubs in our community can learn a lot from what's happened, which is a very, very tough way to learn, but an important one.
It certainly is. Peter Sutton, thank you very much for your time, and let's hope the sporting clubs do and individuals do and take it on board. And just think before you post, bottom line.
Pretty much, mate. You've got to, it's like being in a motor vehicle. You don't hop behind it under the influence, and maybe people need to park their devices in their pockets a little more.
Yeah, absolutely. Peter Sutton, thank you very much for your time, matey. Expert of social media and online behaviour.
Bearsy's Big Breakfast, weekday mornings from 6 on LAFM.